And welcome to another edition of the Bucks Kickoff Podcast, only on the Baddest Best Buccaneer Information website. Anywhere in the world, that would be joebucksfan.com. I'm Rock Riley. The season is fast moving. Four games to go, including this one. Four NFL regular season games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as Devin White said on Friday, it is a do or die situation. Enough talk. And if you don't want to hear real talk, then I suggest that you just move on right now. I was there all week. I'm going to tell you a lot of what I heard. I talked to a lot of people inside that building. What really is going on? Okay. What I observed, we'll go over to the Bengals and what they got going on. They are in such a good mood. They are coming off of 9 of their last 11 wins. They've won 5 in a row. They had their holiday Christmas party this week. And from all indications, I was told it was lit. They are getting along. They have each other's back. It reminds me of 2 years ago when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were like that. Everybody is on the same page. It's a juggernaut, but it is the NFL, and it's not for long. And I've covered the NFL for over 25 years. You cannot go by week to week. So I'm going to give it to you straight, and let's get going on. Who is out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this game? Cornerback Jamel Dean, outside linebacker Carl Nassib, outside linebacker Gerard Avery, and nose tackle Vita Vea. Those are big. They're going to hurt. Even Todd Bowles admitted they are very, very weak at outside linebacker and edge rushing. Very weak. Now, on a positive for the Buccaneers, not so positive for the Cincinnati Bengals, their stud defensive end Trey Hendrickson is out with a broken wrist. This guy is such a gamer that he broke the wrist in the game and continued to play and was walking in the tunnels like, man, my wrist is sore. It was sore. And they told the x-ray, your damn thing is broke. So that is huge for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Our corner Mike Hilton and also tight end Hayden Hurst are out. You got a couple other game time decisions, but mostly at this time of year, man, unless you're really looking at a team like the Bengals where they're going to make noise and could go all the way to the Super Bowl again, you want to make sure. But for the Buccaneers, you've got to win. No more talking. Now, Devin White on Friday said it is a do or die game. Okay, do or die for these final four games to go. On that 35-7 blowout, the embarrassment, which it was last week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is Devin White, quote, "We are not a bottom-of-the-barrel defense. We know we make this team go," like the defense, because the offense can't do squat, they can't score. "So we know we make this team go. We don't want that feeling again. We don't want it to happen ever again." Todd Bowles this week said, "Our goals are still in front of us." And, oh, I'm going to get into Byron Leftwich about, we're still in first place. We're in first place. There's a lot of teams that want to be in first place. Yeah, but look at, well, what have you done? What have you done? And what's your solution? Oh, now, I got a solution for you before I go any further, all right, to try to keep this a little bit on the positive side. And that would be Burger Monger. My favorite place to get a burger, a chicken sandwich, to get a shake or two. Just so delicious. So why don't I give you something positive? If you've never been to a Burger Monger, if you come into the Tampa Bay area or you're living here in Tampa Bay, Burger Monger has locations in St. Pete, in Wesley Chapel, in Safety Harbor, and in Carroll Wood. It's over a third pound hand-pressed burger. It's made of ground chuck and sirloin beef, and they are hand-pressed. All Burger Monger burgers are hand-pressed on the grill to a perfect char, and the flavor is just, you can't get them anywhere else any better. Burger Monger shakes are so delicious. Natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, and on top, whipped cream and a whole bunch of toppings. What flavors do they have, you ask, of their shakes? Well, I'm going to tell you. Caramel Crave, Simply Strawberry, Chocolate Fudge, Very Vanilla, Snickers Supreme, Cookies and Cream. Oh, And one of the best kept secrets for Burger Monger, which you might not be aware of, are their chicken sandwiches. It's a larger marinated chicken breast, and you can get it grilled, or you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. I like the deep fried. It's so damn good. Craveable sides, natural cut fries, the sweet potato waffle fries, and the house-made hand-battered onion rings. And they still have available the LFG burger. If you're on a budget, and we're all on a damn budget, you can't beat this. It is a burger with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce. You got the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, the fresh avocado slices, and they finish it off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner. It's the LFG Burger for $12. Burger Monger. Go there now, and you will thank me. I might have to have a Burger Monger after this game. I'll tell you that. Maybe right after I get out of Ray J, you know? I'm going to be all over the place because I was at One Buck this week and I don't know what I was expecting. You know, NFL players, once they get into the week, it's very much a routine. And I really didn't see anything different. But was I expecting anything different? No. But maybe just a little bit of, we have to win. Or you know what? We're going to work on something. We're not going to really tell you what it is because we don't want to tell the bank. None of that. Now, I wanted to make it a point this week to talk to a lot that are in that building, all right, besides being in the locker room. And from what I have gotten back, and I hit up all my sources, as you would expect, Brady is not used to this. He is not used to this. He is not used to the losing. He is not used to not having success. Now, there are those that have been in that building that have been through this before. But Brady hasn't. And it's hard for him to deal with this. Okay? Has he been Brady? No. Is he washed up and he's done? I don't think so. But, yes, he has looked a little bit slower. Has he underthrown some receivers this year where he normally doesn't? Yes, he has. He has. Also, the receivers have not done a great job of getting open. Does Brady totally trust his line? He's not going to tell you that he doesn't trust his line, but it's obvious. He doesn't want to get hit. He's under a little bit more pressure, even though it might not look like that on the sheet. You know, as far as when it comes down to sacks, but pressures, QB hurries, it's a factor. And here's the thing, and I've said it over and over again in this podcast, and I understand. Byron Leftwich is driving you crazy with those first down runs up the middle or onto the left side. I understand. I yell out. I curse. Hell yeah. But the Buccaneers have got to establish a run game or they are not going to be able to get it done. Here's a stat. The Buccaneers are 6-2 when they run it 20 times or more. They are 0-5 when they run less than 19 times or less. Yeah, because what does that mean? They're down. And they can't help it, throw it. Have to throw it if they get down. They have these slow starts. They've had these perennial slow starts all year. And Brady said it after the game when he came out. He's like, it was a pass-a-thon. And we can't have a pass-a-thon because the opposing defense, they know that we got to throw it, so they're going to play back. That's going to eliminate his long ball. You got to throw the underneath. The defense knows. So the Buccaneers are dead last in rushing. They have got to establish a run. A successful run game in this game against the Cincinnati Bengals or Ray J, or it's going to be a long, long game. Now, I know Rob Gronkowski did an interview this week, and this is coming from Gronk, not me. He was asked, what do the Buccaneers need to do? And he said someone on the team, on the offense, has got to step up and take over. Somebody has got to play ball out and don't keep waiting for Tom to do it at the end of the game. You know what? I couldn't agree more. I want to see somebody pissed off and like, this is it. We are an embarrassment. We're everybody is talking about us like we suck, and we are who we are. Enough. Are you this bad? Now, there's a lot of factors, and I can get into it, and you know, you're following the team, but someone, whether it's Evans or somebody, step it up. I agree with Gronk. I agree with Gronkowski. All right, let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals, all right? Offensively, defensively, they've had injuries. Their depth has been questioned and tested, and they have come through, and they're playing at the highest level they have all season long. They've got a two-headed monster in a rushing attack in Mixon and Perine. Mixon knows Perine. He pulls for him just the same way. They've known each other for 8 years. Great, very, very, very good rushing attack. Joe Burrow is on point right now. He's feeling it. Jamar Chase is back. He is back. He had a good game last week. Bottom line for me, for the Buccaneers, you've got to score a lot in this game. You can't expect to be down and try to get in a shootout with the Bengals and Joe Burrow. You're not going to win. You're not going to win because the Cincinnati Bengals, they put up points. Jamar Chase, 10 catches, 119 last week. One of the biggest plays in the game. Defensively, they're doing a nice job. But this is a big loss with Trey Hendrickson not being able to go because he would have been going up against Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith has been bad. Donovan Smith told us he's got personal problems. He wouldn't address exactly what he's got going on. We know he had the injury this year. He hasn't been good. If Hendrickson was going to play, it was going to be a really long day for Donovan Smith. But Donovan Smith, you don't have to go up against Hendrickson. He's out, okay? DBs are beatable. DJ Reader, better offense, better quarterback. Joe Burrow last week against the Browns, he did not have T. Higgins. He did not have Tyler Boyd, and he still was able to get it done. So that's the thing on the injury thing. And I'll say it before when I listen to Sage's podcast and one of the Joes, I agree with you. If you are out there and you are cleared and you can go, there's no ball out. You got 3 hours to ball out. And the Bengals have had injuries, and they've been able to get it done. All right. It's a 4:25 kickoff, okay? We're not going to have to deal with really, really cold weather. You shouldn't have any bad weather conditions. Doesn't look like it. But coming in, the Bengals have won 5 in a row. The Bengals have won 9 out of their last 11. They beat the Browns in a game. They got it off to Schneid because they couldn't beat the Browns. They had the Browns, okay? They beat the Browns 23-10. It was a sloppy start. And then Burrow ended up with 2 touchdown passes. The Bengals defense. Let's look at the Bengals defense a little bit. They stopped Nick Chubb. They picked off Deshaun Watson. The Browns had 3 fourth down plays, and the Bengals defense stopped them all 3 times. Joe Burrow, I was listening to him after the game last week, and Burrow was saying that they are a complete team right now. It was defense. It was the kicking game. It was Burrow's first win in 5 starts against the Browns. So they got that they got it off to Schneid on that. The Burrow even threw a flea flicker. And that was Irwin, 45-yard touchdown pass. They had some trickery. They had some creativity on offense. You can do that. You can do that when you're – this is like the Buccaneers when that Buccaneers had that Super Bowl run. You can do that. The Bucs haven't had that. They're stuck in the mud. They're slow. But anyway, I'm just giving you this the Cincinnati Bengals side. No Tyler Boyd, no T. Higgins, who went out with the injuries. Jamar Chase is going to be a problem, right? He is talented, and I didn't know if he would have a slow comeback. That was not the case. It was only his second game back last week. This will be his third game back. He missed a month with a broken hip. Now, on the Buccaneers side, I know it hurts, just very briefly, on what you saw or what time did you turn off the TV? Or streaming, or you're watching on your phone, your iPad, whatever. Brock Purdy, I went in depth on this Bucks kickoff podcast last week telling you guys about Brock Purdy on how during practice that week or when he got in the game the last week when Jimmy Garoppolo went out that he was cursing out linemen if they weren't doing it right. When he during training camp, he was setting up a phone and he was simulating as if it was game situations after practices going out there. When he was a kid, he would get pissed off in high school when they would bring out the punt team. He would consider that a turnover. Even Shanahan was saying this guy is different. So I said, don't think that this guy is a rookie, but that I think that he would look so comfortable and do so damn good. No. Brock Purdy threw 2 touchdowns. He ran for a touchdown all in the first half. That's what's alarming against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, the way it started out, it was the first play. Keanu Neal, he crushed Purdy, but Neal got the roughing the passer. It's just how it's gone for the Buccaneers this year. Purdy, you know what Purdy said after the game? That hit woke his ass up. That woke him up because he was, his first start, he's playing against the GOAT and all this and this and that. And that hit actually woke him up. Purdy led the 49ers against the Buccaneers to 5 touchdowns in their first 7 possessions. He was just going down. The Christian McCaffrey, 119, 1 rushing touchdown. He had the 38-yard run. This was after Brady was picked off. Brady on the day, 35 of 55, 253, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions. So I was at Big Storm Brewing on Clearwater, 49th Street, having a blast with the Sage, Ira Kaufman from Joe Bucks Fan. I enjoy it. You can be inside, you can be outside. It's a really spacious outdoor seating venue. Nobody is like elbowing you up. You got a lot of room. They got the TVs. It's very, very pleasant. Sage was there with his wife. We were having a blast, but it comes to a point where you're watching. The game was so bad that it turned you off. So, I mean, I'm with you. I understand. So, all right. Again. Buccaneers, you don't have to run it on first down every single time. But again, you got to establish a run game because we don't want Brady to be in a pass-a-thon. What about the Bengals' rush defense? They have allowed the 7th fewest rushing yards in all the NFL. So they're at number 7. Yards over the – lately, over the last 3 weeks – the defense was not playing that good. Do you remember how the Bengals started? They started out bad. They lost the first couple of games. But right now, over these last couple of games, the defense has got it. The Buccaneers, you're at home. Buccaneers are 4-3 at home. When I circled this match before the season, and you guys, you might have been the same way, I thought this late in the season, GOAT, Burrow, Bengals coming to Ray J, this should be a damn good matchup. That was when the schedule was announced. Look at it now. During Cincy's 5-game winning streak, Joe Burrow, 1,356 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 3 picks. And as far as the spread, I know it started out this week at 3.5 for the Bengals. I would have thought it would have been a lot more for you bettors out there. The Bengals, by the way, are 10-3 against the spread this season. The Buccaneers in their last 11 games are 1-9-1 against the spread. The over-under, anywhere from 42 to 44. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. The Buccaneers have only scored at least 20 points one time in their past 5 games. All right, I'm going to get into my segment here because I got to get into this. This has been on me, and I've wanting to talk to you guys here on Bucks Kickoff on Joe Bucks Fan about this. This is why I'm there, okay? I'm there. Let me go Wednesday. Wednesday's the first day where we can go. We watch practice. We go in the locker room. We're in the media room. You can walk around. You can talk. You can ask questions and get it. when I got in there on Wednesday, I really didn't see much difference at all. I didn't know if there was going to be any sense of, you know, a little bit more urgency or something. It really was business as usual. Now, when we got through the gates, what I'm noticing more and more is the coaches, Clyde Christensen, Leftwich, they're sitting on the tables underneath the awning. And then when we come out, they get up. You know, they don't want to be talking to us, and they get out there. Well, it's been later and later, like that, you know. And so Clyde Christensen, the quarterback's coach, was there. And I noticed that they were blaring, and they only play music. They do it during the stretching. They were blaring country music, which I have not heard. The players control the music. Bull said sometimes they'll let one of the coaches, you know, play us an oldie, and then it takes us back. Well, they were blaring country, and I didn't know who that was. It was only one. Then he went to rap. But I said, hey, Clyde, hey, how you doing? I said, Clyde, was this you? He goes, no, I would rather Christmas music. He's very Christian. He's a very nice man, Clyde Christensen. I hit him on the back, and I said, all right, Clyde, have a good practice. And he said, all right, see you. They went out there. I really wanted to watch the quarterbacks, Brady and Gabbert, and of course, Kyle Trask, Ryan Griffin. And again, I wanted to study because I was listening to Ian Beckles, a lot of the former players, experts, and Ian was saying he looks like, to him, he looks like Peyton Manning his last year. I disagree because I'm watching practice. Does he look slower? Is he looking older in games? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Is he missing some throws? Yes, he is. But is his arm shot? I'm watching his footwork. I'm watching him in and out of the dummies, going over his steps, running in place real fast, throwing the deep ball, warming up. He still got the cannon. He still does. Peyton Manning had broken vertebrae. He had a broken neck. He could not throw the out. Brady does not look like that. But has he looked older? I'm not here to tell you that he hasn't in games, but I made it a point, man, where I watched every throw while we were able to throw, and it was on a line, and when they were throwing deep, he was airing it out. So it doesn't look like he's really lost it that bad in arm strength in practice. Now, I know it's not games, okay? He looked fine. Kyle Trask also does have a strong arm, but this is not a podcast to, like, it's time to, I've had so many people tell me, it's time to see what Trask is going to do. Listen, they still are in first place. They might have a home playoff game. Now is not the time to see what Trask can do when he has no experience. This is coming from me, okay? Vita Vea was walking, or he was working individually with a trainer, testing it out. Or not Vita Vea, I'm sorry, Tristan Wirfs. And I was like, man, he's looking pretty good. Now, he was going backwards, this and that. I was like, okay. We talked to him in the locker room on Thursday. It wasn't as bad as when he hurt his ankle prior to this, but it did hurt him pretty bad when he took that tape off after the game on Sunday. But it wasn't that bad when it showed it was no break. He thought that he would have a chance. So it was still kind of 50-50. But overall, the practice looked kind of relaxed to me. It was Russell Gage. It was Godwin. It was Cam Braid. It was Kyle Rudolph. They all work with a trainer. And it's been like that all season long. And you know what? And this is just a little bit. So then we have to leave. And we can come back when practice is over. They don't want us to see what plays they're running and all that kind of strategy and that. That's just how it is in every NFL camp. So there's a Panera that's located right next to the Advent Training Center, the $1. So I normally stay there, but I was like, let me get myself a little bit of lunch. So I went to Panera and I got it to go, and I was getting in my car to drive back to the facility. It's right there. And I looked at a different perspective of the big Advent Health Center, the big white building. And I looked at it, and I remembered training camp when it was hotter than hell, Fans were allowed. Season ticket members, you know, were there. And I just remember the expectations, the enthusiasm. The GOAT had unretired and come back. And they you know, they're going to have a chance, man. We got another chance. This might be the last year with Brady. And I thought, wow, how times have changed, how this season has gone. It is still somewhat shocking to me, but it's the NFL. It's not for long. Now, I asked Todd Bowles, because I wanted to ask him, because everybody's coming at me. Brady has lost it. Brady's old man. Brady looks like Peyton Manning. I asked Todd Bowles, have you seen any decline in Brady at all in his arm? Maybe you might say, well, he can't throw what he did, but he's still there. No, no, no. And Brady said, no. Bowles said, told me in the media room, quote, no, he's exactly the same. It takes 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense to win a ball game. When things go wrong, it's not Tom's age. It's because we don't execute. And I know that execution, that's what Dungy used to say all the time. But again, it is more than just Brady, but I just had to ask it, okay? Now let me go under the rock on Thursday. It was raining in the morning when I left where I live in Pinellas County. So I'm driving over to Tampa, and I'm like, I know they're going to practice inside. There was no lightning where I was living. And we really, normally at this time of year down here in Florida, you don't get the lightning. You get some rain. We don't get much rain in the winter at all at this time of year. But we had a much-needed rain day. And I'm like, well, they're definitely going to practice indoors. And I thought, you know what? Old school, shouldn't they actually practice one day if it's raining a little bit? Just to get used to a wet ball, wet field, catching it wet. You know, I guess maybe they don't want somebody to slip or, you know, pull or strain something. But I'm like, man, every time now, even if there's just a little bit of rain, it's always indoors. Are we getting softer? But once I got there, they have this big red, it's like a big red light and a siren that goes off when lightning is detected X amount of miles away. And it was going off and it was raining and it was lightning and there was thunderstorms. So I get it. And normally when they go inside to practice, the quarterbacks will start practicing outside and then they'll come in. But even the quarterbacks, you know, Trask is always the first one out, always throwing early, down at the end. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is a Brady Veterans Day. No, Brady's practicing every day now. There's no more Veterans Day, you know, resting him. At least it hasn't been the last couple of weeks, and that was not the case. Brady's practiced every day this week. Did not see Bruce Arians this week at all in the golf cart. Did not see Bruce Arians at all in a golf cart last week. But if you followed along on Joe Buck's Fan, Ira Kaufman had an exclusive sit-down interview with Bruce Arians where they covered a lot of topics. And one of those was Bruce admitting to Sage he's going to start pulling back a little bit, not being at practice as much, and watching a little bit more film. And that's all. That's very, very obvious. Isn't it interesting how Arians is going to be going into the Ring of Honor for that Carolina Panthers game at the end of the year? There's going to be so much riding on that game. But who knows? The way the Buccaneers are playing, I'm going game to game. All right, I'm concentrating on this game. So that was really it. I did again see Devin Tompkins as the return man. Now, I forgot to tell you, on Wednesday when I was there, they were also using Scotty Miller. So you may see a split. You may see Scotty Miller return some punts this week. But it looked on Thursday when they were inside, it was really Devin Tompkins. And he is fast. We talked to him. He's a little guy, little, diminutive, skinny little guy. But he's been an upgrade over Jalen Darden. I know it was only one game, but I had watched it in practice and it stood out to me. And sure enough, that was the one bright spot. I think, didn't even Bowles address that? What was your one bright spot? Devin Tompkins on the returns. Now, one other thing that I've got to bring up here, okay, about on the Brady thing. And again, this is Bucks Kickoff Podcast versus the Bengals. the future, past this year, there's a lot of speculation going around. You know what? I got to bring this up because I'll forget it. I have Anheuser's. Sorry. I've drank a lot of beer over the years. I got Anheuser's. Stroud brought it up, and he was going a roundabout way trying to bring it up. But Michael Silver, an NFL reporter for a long time, was Joe told me, who went on the trip. He was basically kind of stalking Brady after the game. He wrote a story where, according to Michael Silver, Brady in the hotel day before the game is meeting with his offensive teammates, and he's going over the game plan, and he's making changes, and that like kind of like Leftwich doesn't really know about it, and Brady's making these changes. Leftwich said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Brady himself totally denied it. He goes, "Writers can write whatever they want. I don't do that. And Leftwich said, "When it's Saturday, there's not changes made by players. I talk to Brady every single day." Brady said all the good things about Leftwich, got a great relationship with him. So don't make too much out of that report. It sounded kind of fishy to me, and it was poo-pooed. Rashad White was talking to another reporter one-on-one. That reporter told me that Rashad White said, "That thing was blown out of proportion. We always meet with Tom, and Tom asked for our input, and we give it to him about like the running game and maybe this and that, and they just discuss things. It's not like Brady's coming in and changing the game plan. That does not happen. That thing was blown out of proportion." So I wanted to tell you that. Here's my other under the rock. I snooped around. From what I have learned, Brady himself has not made up his mind yet on what he's going to do next year. So much has changed in his life. He was married with kids when this season started. He came back and was looking forward to a good season and felt good and healthy and thought that everything would be good. He's living here. He's not necessarily just by himself in the house. He's got a staff. He's got one assistant. He's got somebody else. So it's not like he's totally alone. He does have joint custody. He's a good dad, back and forth. There's just a lot that has changed. And honestly, I think at this point where we are right now, he's not even sure. So you're here, oh, he's going to go here. He's definitely retiring. I know the ball, he's definitely gone. He's going to be in the Fox booth next year. I don't think Brady himself really knows. And that's what I was able to find out from my sources being at $1. So just to let you know, I think everything right now is up in the air. All right. There we go. All right, let's go. There's four games left. I'm going to take it all in. I will be at $1. I will be down in the locker room. I'll be in the hallways. I'm going to find out as much as I can. I'm going to enjoy every single aspect of it because the season is almost, it's going fast. Okay. Bengals on offense. And there's no more buys. All right. There's no more of that. Okay. Let's suck it up. Okay. No Buccaneers, no Vita Vea. That hurts. Vita Vea is an injured guy, isn't he? No Vita Vea, no Jamel Dean. All right. Oh, and here's the other thing too. When I was going around and talking to my peeps and talking to people inside that building, this is a different team, okay? So much has changed from 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. There is no Ryan Jensen. There is no Ali Marpet. There is no Kappa. There is no Gronk. There is no AB. There is no Ndamukong Suh. This is a different team. This team is nowhere near as good as that team. And they're older. And they're slower. Okay? Let's call it like it is. But let me get into some numbers now here. Fifth in yards for the Bengals in all the NFL. Seventh in scoring in all the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're not the Bengals. They're the Bengals. Cincinnati. Last five games, averaging 30 points. Joe Burrow he's on it right now. He's feeling good. Ja'Marr Chase, his buddy from LSU, he is back and he played good last week and he had a good week of practice and no problems at all. T. Higgins with the hammy, Tyler Boyd, Mixon, they're all a little bit, you know, they're all a little bit banged up a little bit. P. Ryan can catch it out of the backfield as well as run it. I was listening to Joe Mixon on a Cincinnati podcast. It was really interesting. He was doing the podcast. He came on late because he was at their Christmas party. And he said it was lit. And he was going on and on about how they all pull for one another. It's all about being in the building. They are tight. And it reminded me of what the Bucks were 2 years ago. Now, here's another thing, though. When Brady talked to us on Thursday, he was admitting that, you know, we are who we are. We're 6-7. All year, we haven't played well. But he also said that we're still fighting. And that's one thing that going around that locker room, usually when a team starts sucking and you're getting towards the end of the season, there's going to be some sniping. There's going to be somebody's like back-talking a little bit. This person's unhappy because it's contract time and their numbers. I have not seen or heard of any of that. Maybe because even though they're 6-7 and they have sucked, they're in first place and they do have a shot at a home playoff game and they got a shot at getting in the dance or as tournament, as Byron Leftwich calls it. So maybe there's that. But I do take Brady on his word. He was looking right at us like we're still fighting. We're still fighting. We just haven't done it, you know? Now without their stud edge rusher, Hendrickson, they still have Sam Hubbard. He's got 6.5 sacks. Their linebacker, Logan Wilson, leads the Bengals in tackles. He's got 91. He also can get to the quarterback, so he's somebody to watch out for. Zach Taylor is their head coach. It's funny. Do you know Zach Taylor was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback for a minute? I mean, a hot minute. He was an undrafted free agent. He signed with the Buccaneers out of the University of Nebraska, and he was cut before training camp, and that was it. Not only was that it for his Buccaneer career, that was it for his NFL career. But there is a little bit of a tie there. And, of course, Alex Kappa is the Bengals' right guard, and we all remember what Alex Kappa did. He did a real nice job when he was here. It's a CBS game. If you're going to be watching this one, it's Jim Nance, it's Romo, it's Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines. So it's the A-team. It's the late game. Most of the country's going to be watching this thing. That's what I'm saying for the Buccaneers, man. You're in first place, as bad as you have played. You're at home. It's the big game. The country's going to be watching, you know. It's there. Can you try to play good? I know it's a good team, and there's no sense going into the NFC South with the Falcons and the Panthers, and you know where they are, and you know the deal, so no need for that. All right. Let me get into this a little bit more. I do want to get into some comments here that Robert Griffin III, RG3, I believe I saw this on Joe Bucks Fan, because everything that I see that's good, it's always on Joe Bucks Fan. Those guys, they're just incredible. And so I do want to get into that. But let me get into this matchup. Let me get into some of these matchups. What to look out for in this game? All right. Bucks come in. Brady said last week, what we did the previous week has no bearing on what we do here Sunday. I agree with that. I remember Brad Johnson years and years ago telling me, in the NFL, this isn't like college football, and you see trends. You don't go about what a team even did the week before. It is a new week. NFL is crazy, okay? But the Buccaneers were embarrassed. I would have thought, with Brady going back to San Francisco. Much respect to Shanahan, Lynch, being a Joe Montana, a huge 49ers fan, where he went to high school, family and friends, all that. Oh, did you hear what the GOAT said on his podcast? His Let's Go podcast? I was telling this to Lee. Lee can't stand Jim Gray and he won't even listen. I understand. I understand, Lee. But I had to tell him. Brady admitted, this is how much he gets pissed off. He's not used to losing. I saw it for the one home game in the locker room where it was a half hour or more. He didn't even move. He sat at his locker with his head in his hands. He had Gabbert there trying to console him. He didn't even move. I was like, I've never seen that long. Lee told me with the Pittsburgh game, same thing. He was down after this 49ers game. He admitted he was walking to the team bus and forgot. He was so pissed off and so reflective on the team sucking in San Francisco and staying at his locker. Now, there were some reports he took a shower. He didn't even take a shower. I've seen that before, too, where he just, whatever. I don't care about that. But he was walking to the team bus, and I believe it was a female security officer or an employee. He said, hey, didn't you have family and friends here? And he was like, oh, he actually forgot. And he, oh, yeah, and went over and walked back, and they had been waiting for him for a long time. His mother and father left, and he said he didn't blame them. They didn't even stay for the whole game. And he got to see his sister and cousins and things like that, and that was okay. And then he went and he got on the team bus, and then it took him to the tarmac, and then they flew back to Tampa. But that's how much this GOAT hates to lose and can't stand losing. And it's eating him up. And I told you, my sources told me he's not used to dealing with this. But you can change it. You can change it in this game. You can change it three games after this and maybe more. Okay? So there you go. All right, some of the matchups. I start with Brady. If you look at the numbers, you would think the offensive line and the blocking scheme is doing a pretty good job pass blocking. He is not getting sacked a lot. He was not sacked. There was no sacks in this last 35-7 blowout loss to San Francisco. But he was pressured a lot. He had 55 dropbacks, no sacks, but he was hurried a lot. Sometimes hurries, pressures, it doesn't show up glaring on the score sheet, but it is a factor, and that is the factor. He also, the thing about, oh, Brady's done. Father time, he has no arm. It was a beautiful touchdown pass to Mike Evans, that 68-yard score. That was beautiful, but it was called back because of the holding penalty to Donovan Smith, okay? Rashad White, Lenny, versus the Bengals' rush defense. The Bucs are last in the NFL in rushing at 73 yards per game. Last year, the Buccaneers, it wasn't like they were running it, you know, lights out. The Buccaneers averaged 96 yards per game. They are averaging 73 yards per game. Last week, the Buccaneers rushing attack. Rashad White, Lenny, only 69 yards rushing. And because they got down by a lot. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have to pass when you're getting crushed so bad. How about the Bengals rush defense? Let's go back to the sample size from last week. Cincinnati's rushing defense held Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to only 40 yards, okay? So the Bengals rush defense, they did a very good job last week. How about Jamar Chase? Why don't we go Jamar Chase? Because you know Brady likes to go to him. He gets up, and the thing about it is, with Jamar Chase, Bowles was saying, he's lengthy, he's fast, he runs good routes, He's got good hands, but when he gets it, he gets up the field quick after catching it. Most likely, no Jamel Dean. Well, there is no Jamel Dean, so he's going to be going up against Carlton Davis. Now, Carlton Davis, he's got decent size. You want to be, you were telling us that you think that this defense, pass defense, is good. You wanted to step up this year. This is a great opportunity for you to make a name in your game. Nose tackle, DJ Reader, very, very good. He can get to the quarterback. He can stop the run. That's going to be on Hainsey. Hainsey has done a decent job. He's no Ryan Jensen, but he has done a decent job. Overall, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, man. Bengals are hot. They started 0-2. They have won 9 of their last 11. Can they keep it up? The last 3 games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on offense, you know what they are averaging? The last 3 games, less than 14 points a game, 13.7. The last 3 games for the Bengals, they've given up the 6th fewest points per game. So like I say, Bengals are hot, Buccaneers are not. All right, let me end it on this, okay? Let me end it on this. But before I do that, one more quick mention of my favorite place to chow down right now, which is Burger Monger. Many locations in the Tampa Bay area, they have the most delicious hamburgers that I have ever tasted. Hand-pressed on the grill, maximum char, perfect char. The flavor is, it's just so damn good. They've got a variety of toppings, variety of cheeses, however you want it. They've got craveable sides that are so damn good. And the thing about it is, underrated, my wife loves it. They're chicken sandwiches. You can get them grilled, breaded, deep fried, however you want them. And what's great right now, oh, and their shakes too. Their shakes are just so damn good. Very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel crave, Snickers Supreme. Oh, and the shakes, hand spun. It's hand scooped ice cream, hand spun, thick and creamy, and they top it off with whipped cream and a variety of toppings. And what the best deal anywhere, whether you go to a Burger Monger in Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, or Wesley Chapel, is their LFG burger. 2 patties, 12 ounces of beef, provolone, applewood smoked bacon, the chopped lettuce, fresh avocado slices, peppercorn ranch dressing drizzle on top. It is a winner. LFG Burger Monger burger, $12. Let's do it. All right, let me end on this. RG3 played the position not that long ago. I think he does a pretty good job. And when I saw his take, of all the analysts that are out there, I agree with him. The interior of the Buccaneers offensive line has the 5th worst pass block win rate. Now again, Lee always says you can make stats come out any way you want it if you've got an agenda. But the interior line, coming right at Brady, okay? 5th worst in all of the NFL. On top of that is the GOAT. The GOAT is not fleet-footed. He is not fast. He was never fast, and he looks 45, and he doesn't want to, he's not able to escape. So that's been a problem. And this is according to RG3. I saw this on Joe Buck's Fan. Everything the Bucks do offensively seems so hard right now, doesn't it? It's plodding. It's methodical. It's slow. It's like they're in quicksand. It looks like that. And what RG3 is suggesting is give Brady some gimme throws. 5 out of the 10 first throws, just do them gimme throw. Get in rhythm. Get some rhythm. Get that. The Bucs offense hasn't been in rhythm. Maybe that's it. Listen, man, they are who they are. They're a below 500 football team. They're a bad football team. But forever as long as we have Brady and watching his arm strength in practice, he hasn't lost it yet. Okay? So that's it. All indications on paper, I've looked at this thing. I've looked at the film. I've listened to Bengals podcasts. I've listened to interviews. I've seen it. Everything tells me this is going to be another blowout. But I know, covering the NFL for as long as I have, that's why I don't bet on the NFL, because I would be wrong. I thought last week that Brady would have a good game in San Francisco, and the Buccaneers stunk. So I'm looking at this where maybe it's going to be close. Maybe. Hoping. Get into the dance. But if you get into the dance, you can't back in at 8-9 and expect to do anything past the one home playoff game. I'm not even looking at it like that. I'm more on Sage's. I listened to Sage's podcast last week, and I know Joe was all over him. Sage doesn't think they're even going to make the playoffs. I'm more on that vein. But I'm trying to give it to you what I've seen, what I've heard. The thing that is alarming to me, being in that room for Bowles, for Leftwich, for the GOAT, going around the locker room and talking to players, I wanted to hear a solution, a possible solution on getting out of this funk. But all I heard all week was, we just got to play better. We got to throw it better. We got to execute. We got to play better. We got to play better. Nothing that would be like, you know what, man, we're working on something. We got together this week. This is it. I didn't see it. Maybe they'll do it in the team hotel. Maybe they'll talk before kickoff. Something. And if it's not the GOAT, then somebody. Evans. Maybe it's time. Devin White's message is just not doing it for me anymore. Devin White has talked. He told me last week on this Bucks Pick Kickoff podcast, I told you, we ain't going to lose another game. You got manhandled. I'm done listening to that. All right? I'm done listening to that. Maybe it's time now for Brady to have a talk. Maybe it's not Brady. It's got to be somebody in the team hotel or pregame before you go out in that tunnel at Raymond James Stadium. Somebody. That's what I want to see. I want to hear about it and then do it. Talk is cheap, but somebody's got to do something. Otherwise, it's just ho-hum. Here we go. We just got to play better. All right, that's it. All right, thanks. Thanks for listening to the baddest and being here on the best, baddest, badass Buccaneer information website known to mankind, joebucksfan.com. I'll talk to you next week. I'll give you everything that I've seen and heard at One Buck and everything that I've seen in the hallways and being in at Raymond James Stadium and snooping around. I'll give it to you. All right? Thank you for listening. And let's go.